As we prepare for Lent, all of us prepare our hearts and become ready for this season in which we hopefully helped to be able to understand what is going to take place on Good Friday and Easter, this time of preparation. I want to recommend to all of us the possibility of actually writing down the sins that we have committed and saying them out loud, admitting them to someone who admits them his or herself. This process of writing down the things that we think that we may have done in error or wrong is a very holy thing. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they call it the fourth step, the searching and fearless moral inventory. No, I try very hard never to use this pulpit ever to recommend or instruct anybody in any holy behavior. I learned long ago when I became a Christian, when I handed my life over to the care of Christ, that that we are no wiser than others. We are simply saved. Very different thing. So I don't make a lot of recommendations here for behavior. But in this particular one, I commend this to you, and my reason is the tremendous blessing that it is to our soul. When we harbor guilt or any memories of things that cause us to feel poorly about ourselves, it tramples on our freedom. It keeps us from being able to be open and loving and to take risks. I remember stealing a belt when I was 16 years old from the Wrangler shop on 8th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. This is how dumb I was. I put a belt on that didn't belong to me, and then I thought that nobody had seen me. And as I went to the door, of course, immediately the guard put his arm on my shoulder. I was mortified. In my life, I must tell you, I've never stolen anything. I don't know what came over me to think that I could steal, but I'm very glad that I was caught. In any case, he put his arm on me and took me downstairs. And in the room that I was in, he said, "You are in big trouble. What you did is against the law." And I was terrified. I thought maybe he was going to call the police. And he kept telling me, "It's against the law, and I could call the police." And then he asked me for my address and my name. And my name was Broderick, but I spelled it without the C. And for weeks, I wondered if when you spell your name without the C, does the letter still come to the address to tell your parents what? I actually remember asking someone, "Will someone get the letter? Because I didn't use the C, and it might not wind up in the mailbox." That's ridiculous. But can I tell you that when I walk on 8th Street, which looks nothing like it used to, and has none of the shops that it used to, when I pass the very spot where I stole that belt, I have a twinge of grief and horror. I don't really feel like going in that building. Now, I feel more like it now than I did just right after it happened. But do you see how our unconfessed sin keeps us from having freedom and joy, from the ability to be able to get out there and do whatever it is we need to do or say whatever it is we need to say? It's this internalized guilt. And it's for this that the joy of being able to admit to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs was made. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to prepare ministers to be able to go into Germany when they could and did, many of them, lose their lives. He had to give them power and strength to be able to serve Jesus, serve the gospel, and risk their lives to save Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, all of those who were being gathered up to be put in concentration camps. Many of these ministers were quite successful in getting people out of the country or giving them safe places to be able to hide so that they were alive. So Bonhoeffer had to give them instruction that would make them strong under such unbelievable pressure. And what he told them was to do a great and thorough and adequate confession. He said that they must walk into the battle knowing that they were forgiven. And the only way to do that was to say out loud to another human being the exact nature of their wrongs. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, you can try to forgive yourself. You can say, what is that wonderful Saturday Night Live in which the guy says to the mirror, well, you're good. And you're wonderful, and gosh darn, God loves you. And you're supposed to say that into the mirror? But, you know, said Bonhoeffer, that doesn't work. And it doesn't work because you're saying it to yourself. The whole key is to look at another human being made by God, formed by God, with an infinite soul, an image of God in another person, and say the things out loud and hear from this other person, you are forgiven. We need to hear that out loud from another human being, from another person made by God, God's self. And when we do, and we hear it with our full heart, we are astoundingly empowered to go and love others recklessly and with abandon. See, there's real power in this forgiveness. It's not just about some little easement of pain. It's about the power to go out and take risks and change the world. Do you know that before every great revival, Charles Finney used to talk about this, before every great revival in every church, he said was a period of repentance and confession. And that if this confession would happen with a whole heart on the part of all the people, that you could not control the glory of God that would come into that place. Can you imagine that for us? For each one of us, everyone here, the power of that confession to bring people in Morris County into this place? You know, it's hard to do, though. Here's what I'm recommending. Look, this may be wrong because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'll just tell you one bit. If you go to Staples and get yourself like a binder or whatever that you like that's like a pretty color and a nice pen, you know, the kind that writes kind of in a sweet way, and then maybe carry it around with you and start to write those things down. Go through the years, every year, from the first year you can remember, all the way through to today, and just ask yourself, is there anybody that I've harmed? Is there anything I remember that I did? And write it out on that paper. And then choose someone before you come to Holy Week to say it out loud to. You know, I remembered something that I did that I was very ashamed of, and It's been bugging me for a long time. And so I have a friend who's a priest, and I said, I really want to tell you this thing. It's ridiculous, but I want to tell you. And he was like, okay. And so we got an enormous hamburger and ate huge amounts of French fries so I could get ready. And but finally, I just had to force myself to say it out loud. It was a dumb thing, but I just wanted to say it out loud to him. And I said it out loud to him, and it was in the kitchen here at the rectory. And, you know, you know what he did? This is Jim Monroe, by the way. He has preached here once. He started laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. He said it was so funny that I was that guilty about something so ridiculously trivial. And I kept saying to him, but Jim, it's not trivial to me. And he was like, and he was like, and then he started making fun, you know, making up other sins that were like that were ridiculous. Anyway, we need to hear that, don't we? that tremendous sense of joy that we can have from a brother or sister. Now, here's the one word that Dietrich Bonhoeffer gave to us out of his wisdom. Do not confess to someone who does not confess. Do not confess to someone who does not confess. Because it can be dangerous. They can repeat what you say to them, or they can harm you, or they can use it to harm you. But if you confess to someone who confesses, they will understand the glory that you're looking for. And so as I close, let me say that there's also the process of listening to someone's confession. And, you know, it can be hard to hear someone tell you because you want to correct it. You want to make it better. You want to give them a solution. But they just need to be heard. When people in New York City were dying of AIDS, that's when it was at its height. Then that was when I was studying to be a chaplain. You could tell in New York Hospital, it was NYU, you could tell if someone had AIDS because they would have a large sign in front of the door that said not to share bodily fluids. But nobody ever used the word, but that's what you knew. And there was a young man, and he had AIDS, and it was pretty far along. He was only 26, beautiful young man, with a lovely mother who was sitting with him and had been with him and called me to be with him. He was a good artist, too. He didn't have long to live. He started to tell me about what he had done wrong. But I was all head up, you know. I kept telling him how wonderful he was. And he kept telling me what he'd done wrong. And I kept saying, but you're wonderful. You're a child of God. You're beautiful. And he kept telling me what. I went down to the cafeteria, and I remember thinking, it coming to me, you know, God speaking to me. And I heard, you want to be a priest, and you don't know how to listen to someone else? That fellow is making a confession. And I went upstairs, and I apologized, and I said, tell me. And I listened, and I heard his repentance. And after it was all through, we both knew that God has spoken and that he had been forgiven, not by me, not with any little compliments, but by God, God's self. And there is tremendous power in that. I pray we'll all have a holy Lent. Amen.